The reading this evening is taken from Psalm 119, starting at verse 97, and this can be found on page 620 in the Church Bibles. Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me, and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Imogen. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me at the back? Good, excellent. For those who don't know me, my name's Andrew. I'm sure lots of you do. But it's my pleasure and honour tonight to be talking about the next in our series, Disciples for Spiritual Growth. So the topic for tonight is meditation. We're specifically thinking of meditation as a discipline, something we can practice to grow spiritually. And obviously we've just heard the reading, we're looking at Psalm 119. Now this is not somebody meditating, but it's a hymn about somebody who has meditated, and about meditation. I thought I'd start tonight with a bit of a confession. I like to start my preaching with a bit of a personal confession, and it's about meditation. So when I realised what topic I would be preaching on tonight, I was a little bit taken aback, I suppose. I don't know if you can tell, but I've not really ever thought of myself as the type of person who was into meditation. I'm a bit of a logically minded person. That's no slight on anyone who does feel they are into meditation. So if you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago what I thought about meditation, I probably would have put it in the same category as horoscopes, herbal medicine, and colonic irrigation. It's the sort of thing that people tell you it's going to revolutionise your life. It's going to unlock some kind of incredible power within you that you never knew you had. But in actual fact, it probably doesn't make a huge difference. But after preparing for tonight, I realised I was probably being a little bit unfair. I made a judgment based on a false understanding of meditation, and especially a false understanding of meditation in the Christian context. So we're going to think about what that means specifically tonight. So I want to start by thinking about what meditation is and also is not. We'll look specifically at tonight's passage. What does this tell us about meditation? What does this mean for us as Christians? And then lastly, I want to conduct a bit of an experiment, but more on that later. So firstly, what is meditation? This is a bit of a loaded term, and it can mean slightly different things to different people, especially people of different cultures and faiths. So we know that some form of meditation is practiced by Christians, is also practiced by Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. Almost every major religion in the world practices some form of meditation. And also people of no faith as well. So we know about yoga, New Age movements, and also this sort of craze that's sweeping around at the moment, mindfulness. meditation is a big part of those as well. So it's hardly surprising that there are some different definitions and understandings of what meditation is out there. So when I was doing my research for this and I was thinking about what do we actually mean when we talk about meditation, I looked at the dictionary. The first definition I found said, continued or extended thought, reflection, contemplation. But I think we mean a little bit more than that when we talk about meditation, more than just thinking about something for a long while. I looked at the Oxford Dictionary, and that said, to focus one's mind for a period of time in silence or with the aid of chanting for religious or spiritual purposes as a method of relaxation. And the Cambridge Dictionary said, giving your attention to only one thing, either as a religious activity or as a way of becoming calm and relaxed. So this is getting closer to what we're talking about, I think, in a Christian context. Our word meditation in English comes from the Latin meditatio, which means to think, to contemplate, to devise, to ponder. And in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament, this was hagar, which, as well as to meditate, means to sigh or to murmur. So you get this idea of somebody making a bit of noise while they're meditating. We know that when we vocalize our thoughts, when we give words to our thoughts, it can help us to focus on what we're trying to express or to think. Let's think a little bit about what meditation is not. Many Eastern religions teach that meditation is a means to obtain enlightened wisdom and reach nirvana, which is a sort of a heaven-like state of eternal freedom and bliss. And Hindus believe that through meditation, one can become united with God. The idea is that this state of nirvana can only be reached by mastering the techniques of meditation to empty one's mind. And it's the individual's technical ability which determines whether they actually achieve this or not. Well, the Bible tells us something different. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And my favourite Bible quote, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So the Christian understanding of meditation is different from those Eastern religions. It doesn't matter how technically accomplished we are or how enlightened we become, we can't earn our place in heaven. We can't get to heaven and be united with God the Father by bypassing Jesus or through our own efforts, our own technical accomplishments. It's God's grace that matters. And also the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't be emptying our minds out, but we should be filling ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 3, verse 19, Paul says to those Christians in Ephesus, he prays that they might be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And again, in chapter 5, in the same letter, he advises them to be filled with the Spirit, or some translations say, go on being filled. So it's a continuous thing that we should keep regularly doing. And there are, as well as the Eastern religion, some secular philosophies. I've mentioned some already, so New Age movements, mindfulness. Some of these tell us that meditation is just a good way to relax, and that in order to do this, we have to spend time alone reflecting on the present moment. Now, that in itself is not a bad thing, but what's the point if no one's listening when we're reflecting? And the Bible tells us we are never left completely alone. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And in Deuteronomy 31:6, we're told, "It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave or forsake you." So God is with us all the time, We can't be completely alone. So instead, in the Christian context, we should actually be thinking of meditation as a way of praying, of developing our personal relationship with God one-on-one, and of refocusing our lives on the things that really matter, and that's the things that matter to him. Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And I don't know about you, but if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. So let's look now at tonight's passage specifically. So that's Psalm 119, verses 97 to 105. And when we look at tonight's passage, the first thing you will notice is that it's not actually a manual on how to meditate as a Christian. There are no techniques here that are explained, no techniques to be mastered. What we're doing is we're looking at tonight's passage as an example of Christian meditation. This is not the only one in Psalms. There are quite a few, but this is a good one to look at. And like other Psalms and Proverbs, our passage tonight is actually divided up into little pairs of related verses, couplets, and they express similar ideas. So it's sort of two sides of the same coin, and they go together. So I thought what I would do tonight is look at each of these couplets one by one and go through the passage. So we'll start with the first one. I don't know if you might find it helpful if you've got your Bibles out in front of you. You can follow these as I go through. So the first couplet is verses 97 and 98. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than all my enemies. Some observations on this. First of all, we know this particular bit of the psalm is a hymn because it starts with a statement of praise for something that God has created. Oh, how I love your law. The other thing that jumps out at me straight away is the phrase, I meditate on it all day long. So this is something that lasts the whole day. It's sustained reflection on God's word. It's not just a quick prayer and then we move on. It's something that goes on for quite some time. And now, I know we all have busy lives. I'm currently suffering with the joys of Southern, trying to commute in and out of London. So this can cause problems in terms of trying to get some time, some free time, to spend on meditating on God's word. So not many of us are actually able to dedicate a whole day to meditating. The suggestion here, I think, is not that the psalmist has sort of blocked out his whole day and said, today I'm going to meditate. I think the suggestion is that the psalmist has been meditating throughout the day, sometimes consciously, sometimes while doing other things. And we should seize opportunities where we have a few minutes to ourselves to meditate, much like the psalmist, I think, is doing here. My wife, Annette, told me about an example of this recently, and I thought I'd share this with you because it's a really good one. We've got an eight-month-old son. When he's going to bed, he normally needs a little bit of encouragement, so Annette sometimes rocks him to sleep. That can take a while. So Annette has told me that recently she's started praying or meditating while she's doing that. So that's a great example of somebody using the time that they have in their day to meditate while they're going. Now, I wouldn't recommend having children purely to get some time to meditate. Actually, I think that would be rather counterproductive, but you get the idea. It's an example. The last thing about that first couplet that I'll draw out is I think the psalmist takes God's commandments with him wherever he goes. So God is always with us, and if you're meditating like he is on the law, that follows with you. And this makes him wiser than his enemies. Let's look at the next couplet now, 99 to 100. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on all of your statuses. Statutes, sorry. I'm not sure if there are any teachers in here tonight. There probably are. That may not be a a popular sounding line for you. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. So by meditating on the law, the psalmist has received insight and understanding, and he's been given the strength to follow through and obey God's precepts. He's not just understanding God's law, he's able to implement it in his life. The next couplet, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. There's a clear benefit here. The psalmist has been kept from evil thanks to one-on-one time with God. He says God himself has taught him. So he has direct contact with God. That's the benefit of that personal relationship that we have with God. The next one, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. So we know from this verse that meditation has changed his perspective. He loves God's words, and he's gained understanding to avoid things that are harmful. And this is reinforced in the last verse, which is actually, if we look in our Bibles, the very first line of the next stanza of the psalm. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So in summary, by meditating on the law, the psalmist has gained a new appreciation for God's word. He's been made wiser, he's been given insight and understanding, and he's been given the strength to obey God's precepts, so he's able to keep from evil. And his perspective's been changed so that he no longer actually wants to do the things that he knows he shouldn't. He wants to follow God's law. And above all, he is joyful. We know that from the first line. So what does this actually mean for us as Christians? When we look at our passage tonight, we see that meditation in the Christian context means spending a period of time focusing on something specific before God. It means contemplating that thing in detail and being ready to receive God's blessing. And this could be wisdom, it could be strength, it could be a changed perspective, it could be a sense of joy or peace. Ultimately, this is one-on-one time with God, and it draws us closer to him, and it deepens our personal relationship. So now I'm going to come to that experiment that I was talking about earlier. I hope you're up for it. We're going to spend some time now trying to give this a go. We're going to spend some time meditating, and don't worry, I'm not going to make you all sit cross-legged and start humming and chanting. And we're not going to sit in silence either. In a minute, we're going to play some music, and we're going to use this time, it's around 5 minutes, to meditate on something in God's presence. God is here with us tonight. So the song that I've picked for this, I think it's a really beautiful piece of music, but more than that, it's quite poignant. So the song is called Passe Mihi Domine. Are there any Latin speakers in here tonight? No? It means spare me, Lord. But actually, if you look at the lyrics of the song, it's about how God is always with us. He doesn't leave us alone, even just for a second. And one of the lines in the song is, in fact, you don't even leave me alone long enough to swallow my own spit. And so it's a romantic song. You'll enjoy it. But try not to focus on the music itself. That would be my advice. So let the music sort of wash over you or sort of carry you along as you meditate on the thing that you want to meditate on. And I'd stress that it's something that you want to meditate on. It could be the passage tonight. It could be another piece of scripture, but it doesn't have to be. So don't limit yourself to that. You might be wanting to praise God for something and meditating on that over a prolonged period, Or you could be petitioning God for something. You might be asking him for help with a certain person or situation. So don't feel like you have to meditate on scripture. That is an option. But there are many other options out there, so feel free to give that a go as well. Think of this as an extended prayer. So we're quite familiar with the concept of prayer. We want to try and take that same approach, but just hold our focus on the thing that we are praying about, the thing that we are meditating on. And the last thing I want to say before we play the music is be ready to receive his blessing, whatever that might be. So I've mentioned some of the things earlier, wisdom, strength, guidance. Just be ready to receive what God has to give to you. And while the music plays, rather than stand here and stare at you all and freak you out, I think I'm going to go and sit down, and then I'll come back up when it's finished. So you might find it useful to close your eyes now, and I'm going to give the music the thumbs up. Off we go.